Hi, I'm Jake.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is
We Trust the Process. Bachelor in Paradise edition.
Uh-oh.
Woohoo!
We're in paradise now.
Yeah, it's hot. This cabana's nice, though. I like all these crabs. Wells is serving up some good drinks.
Ooh, he's a good replacement for Jorge, but it's... I don't want to use the word replacement, because you really can't replace Jorge.
So Jorge was the bartender for the first three seasons of Bachelor in Paradise, and he was a real integral part of the show. But Jorge is moving on.
He's opening up his own business.
Yeah, so he was like, it was very emotional. He got emotional when he said goodbye to the to the new cast. And we wish him the best.
And they're chase replacing. Your dreams.
Yeah, he's chasing his dreams. He said that, you know, you guys are all here to follow your dreams, and I'm going to go and follow mine.
Yeah.
And so now Wells, who was on JoJo's season, maybe?
I think so.
I don't know. Wells is a person who was on the show at some point. So now he is the bartender.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there for love. He's just there to serve drinks. And I really like what he's bringing to the show so far.
He's been a good shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, I think, like, Jorge, I know, interacted with people, but I feel like Wells is bringing it to another level, where it's sort of, rather than the interviews that people do direct to the camera, like, mm-hmm. instead, that confessional-type stuff is going to happen at the bar, and Wells is going to get that information out of people.
Yeah.
And then also he comforts them.
Yep. I mean, I think he has a different perspective than Jorge had, because... he lived this.
Right. That's true.
He has that insight that, I mean, sure, Jorge saw all of what happened the past three seasons, but he's never been there looking for love.
Yep. I'm a little skeptical about Wells being not in play.
Oh, I think it's going to come up where he's going to be in play.
Yeah. There's definitely women that are interested in him.
People have gone like, oh, shucks.
Right. They were disappointed that he was not there for love. So I think that could be a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know what? I don't know. Twists. I guess I'm anticipating things a little bit too soon. And we were expecting all sorts of twists with the finale with Rachel.
And
that didn't happen.
Yes. Just so because you want
we just
twist.
Need to take things at face value. Wells is there to be the bartender. Okay.
That's who he is.
Moving on. Now that we are 5 minutes into the podcast and we've only talked about... So we have a lot to talk about. The format for Bachelor in Paradise is 2 hour episodes on Monday and Tuesday each week.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of TV.
Yeah.
Which means like a lot of podcast, but we're going to try to not have that be the case
mm-hmm.
because we have things.
I got to do other stuff too.
Yeah. We kind of like, we were able to do this with the Monday schedule, but Monday and Tuesday is a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
But we will keep putting out podcasts. We like doing this.
Yeah, it's fun.
But just have a little leniency with us about when it comes out.
Yeah.
Because we want to enjoy it and not rush it.
Right.
Okay, I think people get it. Let's move on. I hate it when people talk about, like, it's so stupid.
Oh, like, I like it.
When I watch like ASMR videos and people are like talking about their lives and like, oh, sorry, I haven't posted in a while. And just, I don't fucking care. Just like put up your video. I'm not here to like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I don't care. I don't want to spend my time listening to you talk about meta stuff. Just get into the podcast.
All right. And we'll do that right now. So the episode starts with Chris Harrison giving a bit of a disclaimer about how the season was shut down.
Shut down. That they just wanted to make a show about love and blah, blah, blah. But it was shut down.
And some stuff happened that we'll get into.
So everybody knows. No, yeah. We're going to get into it right now. So, but actually, you know what? We don't know. Because the show never really addressed what happened.
Yeah.
So Corinne and DeMario, something happened. There was some sort of confusion about
consent on both sides.
We don't
probably.
Know if it sounded, at first what I heard was that it came from the producers and then, but I don't know. And we still don't know.
And I don't think we're ever going to know. So we really
no, this was the opportunity
speculate.
For them to show what happened or not show what happened or talk about it. But they didn't.
They didn't say anything.
And so I can't really speak to it.
Yeah. In the second episode of this week, it was weird the way that Chris Harrison didn't really, say much about it. It was just kind of, all right, well, you know, some cast members, we didn't know who they were, and I don't know. It just seemed very, very vague on ABC's part.
They tried to make everything okay so the first episode was everything that happened prior to production shutdown. The second episode was after that. And so they started off when everybody came back with having what I thought of as an assembly, we would have had in school,
yeah,
where you bring everybody together and you talk about the issues. Mm-hmm. So Chris Harrison was the leader of the assembly and he talked to everybody about what had happened and tried to get everybody's feelings about it.
Yeah.
But it, to me, I appreciate that they did this and that they were kind of trying to clear the air or to set the record straight. But the fact is that we still don't know what happened. And yeah, so it doesn't really help. To me, I'm still concerned that there's a woman who thinks that something happened that shouldn't have happened. And we're all just talking about it and agreeing about it without her being a part of the conversation. That's what happened during the assembly, was everybody went around and said how they were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really matter.
Right.
It seemed like they were trying to gloss over everything and make it seem like nothing happened by editing in a certain way where we didn't see whatever the issue was.
Mm-hmm.
And then having everybody come back and saying they all think that everything's fine.
Yeah.
But that doesn't fix it, because you still haven't addressed what the problem was to begin with that started all of it.
Yeah.
Chris asks everybody in the assembly, why are we back? And then says, we hired an outside firm to look into what happened. And, you know, everybody was interviewed and there was no evidence of misconduct. But to me, that's still, that's supposed to be satisfying, but it's not.
What do you mean it's not satisfying?
It's still problematic. I don't know, just because you didn't find any evidence. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If there's still people saying that there's a problem. I guess it worries me. And I think at some point Raven spoke up and said that she was in an abusive relationship and at some point was sexually assaulted, and that she hopes that this doesn't deter what happened, mm-hmm, with Corinne, that doesn't deter other women from coming forward.
Sure.
But I don't see how it doesn't.
Right. There's no sense of it empowerment or reason to come forward if this is going to be the response.
It still seems like it's everybody. I guess hearing other people talk about whether or not they're okay doesn't matter to me. I want to hear that she's okay.
Yes.
The sit down assembly thing really seemed like everybody kind of trying to take away from the impact of whatever Corinne had said. So people said things her statement was vague. I don't think it came from her. I think it came from her lawyer.
Yeah.
She did it to save face and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's that's problematic,
mm-hmm,
to me. Because it's not up to those people to come up with those thoughts. And
sure,
they can say them, but the fact that they're the only voice that's being presented on this show is not okay with me.
Yeah.
And that nobody really, we only heard from certain people during this thing. I'm sure more people spoke, but again, it's all editing.
And then it got to the point where Chris was like, so do we all know what consent is?
No, because so this was, I think, the thing I wanted to talk about the most, in that because it was so problematic that, so yeah, Chris was like, let's talk about consent. How do you know what consent is? And then Taylor, who kind of was the voice of reason maybe throughout this whole thing, or speaking as someone who's been trained as a counselor, I think,
yes,
she had the wording all kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
you know, she was saying, like, verbal consent is the best. You know, body language might indicate something, but really, like, verbal consent is the best way to know whether or not. And then Ben Z spoke up, and I was like, thank you, Ben Z, for not saying something about your dog for once.
But maybe he should have said something about his dog, because this was pretty stupid what he said.
Really?
Wait, what did he say?
I totally disagree.
Which one?
What he said that you need to make sure you have consent throughout.
Oh, sorry. I got him conflated with somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Who said something like... Oh, yeah, because sometimes the next morning, you know.
That's the thing to me.
Yeah,
that's
sorry. For some reason, I thought that was Benzie.
No, so Benzie was like, you know, he spoke up and was like, yeah, and you need to make sure you have consent throughout, which is like, yes, absolutely. Because I think that that's a thing that people get hung up on where it's like, well, she seemed really into it. And it's like, but if at any point people change their mind or if they're okay with making out with you, but they don't want, whatever, you need to, consent needs to be a thing. And... So then Chris said, if someone is drunk, can you give consent? And Diggy spoke up and said, well, I think that if you're doing something that you would have done when you're sober, then it's fine. But, you know, because we've all had those mornings where we wake up and think, ooh, probably shouldn't have done that. And then everyone laughed.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's the whole point.
Yep.
That, like, you shouldn't have mornings when you wake up and regret what you did the night before.
Right. I totally agree with you.
So to me, this was like, okay, Bachelor Nation, like, thank you for trying at least, I guess. But no, like, you still didn't do it right.
I think that they gave it the Bachelor level attempt.
Yeah. Like, I was surprised that they even did this. Not that that's good enough.
Right.
It's not good enough.
Yeah.
But I was expecting it to just be like, hey, isn't that crazy that we had to shut things down?
Oops,
now we're back.
Yeah. Good on for trying, but not a great effort.
No, yeah, not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, what an amazing teaching moment. Like, there was such, like, people, there were so many people interested in this and so many people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, to me, it was just like such a great teachable moment. And instead... your wrap up was Diggy saying, you know, we've all had those mornings and everyone laughing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
Bad job. Overall, we try to have fun with Bachelor in Paradise.
Right. Which is so why we're going to get to the relationships.
So now we're going to move on from this. I would like to start off, and this is a weird thing, by talking about the beginning of episode 2, because it's a separate thing.
Oh, okay.
So the beginning of episode 2 was a wedding between Carly and Evan, who met last season on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yep. Which we did not watch, but we got a really good recap.
I kind of wish that I had, though.
Yeah.
Their relationship is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
I love Evan and Carly together. Evan seems really weird and
emotional. He doesn't seem like the typical person that's usually on one of these shows.
Right, which seems to be the people that get married, because Tanner and
Jade
got married from season 1 of Bachelor in Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, season 2.
They were season 2.
Season 2 of Bachelor in Paradise. And Tanner's kind of a weird guy, like not your normal... Bachelor dude. He's like pretty quiet.
Yeah. He's a normal dude. He's not your normal bachelor dude.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they started off by showing a montage of weddings, of Bachelor Nation weddings. And there's not that many of them.
No, I was expecting way more.
Considering there have been so many seasons of this show,
they
were only able to show weddings from 5 couples.
Yep.
And because I think other people have gotten married, but I think they've also gotten divorced. So I think they were just showing us the people that were still currently together. So we see Trista and Ryan, who were season 1, and their video all looked like it was recorded on VHS.
Because it probably was.
It looked so old.
Yeah, and everybody looked like they were from the early 2000s or whatever.
Yeah.
I was probably like 10 when that came out.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah.
There was also, next was Jason and Molly, who were from season 13, and they were the ones that during their ceremony, a storm rolled in.
That was...
So as they kept showing.
Got really windy. And then,
first
like,
it was really windy.
With
and then everybody put up their umbrellas, which they had those really cool clear plastic umbrellas
Some people
that have
did.
Like that nice shape. some people, and then we see they're like saying their vows, and the rain is just pouring down on them.
Yep, and like, they just completely get like blasted uncovered. Water.
That was hysterical. We see Ashley and JP from season 7, and Chris Harrison was their officiant.
That's the dream, right
it
there.
It really is, and he looked very young. Then we saw Sean and Catherine from season 17, and in her vows, she told him that when she first met him, he was like a light to her bug. Which is like...
It's an attraction.
I like that people try to do these metaphors and similes and stuff in their vows, and it
especially
seems
when they
like
fall pretty flat.
Doesn't go great. Yeah. Evan did this in his vows as well. He said to Carly that her beauty reminds him of a sunrise. I was like, that's so...
It ends.
That's so dumb.
Yeah.
Then Jaden Tanner from Bachelor in Paradise Season 2, and Chris was also their officiant. We got to see their whole day unfold, and we got to hear their backstory. So it seems like they went on some really weird dates when they were in Paradise.
Yeah.
They went on a hot pepper, or they had to kiss while having a hot pepper in their mouth.
Yeah.
He also faked his death to win her back. They seemed like they were getting along really well. And
then they had the hot pepper kiss, I guess. And then
they had their first kiss, and Carly talked about that. And she said that it was so terrible.
And he thought it was the best
kiss. And he thought it was
kiss.
The best ever.
Yeah.
And then they had some weird dates, and then she friend zoned him and was like, "You are great, but I kind of just want to be friends." So then he faked his death.
And I'm not sure how that really played out. Like, with just
neither
saying like 15 seconds of it, it seemed completely fucking ridiculous to try to do that.
But it worked, and she realized how much she cared for him. And then he proposed and said, "Will you freaking marry me?"
Yeah.
And Joelia was there. She was the bridesmaid.
Mm-hmm. Joelia.
So her name is Julia.
But
she spells it like Joelia.
J-U-E-L-I-A.
And that was something that we joked about during previous, whenever she was on. What season was she on?
I mean,
she
was on Chris's. Yeah.
Because she must have been with Jade.
Yeah.
Or I almost feel like she was earlier than that, and that maybe they met in Paradise.
Was she a Juan Pablo?
I don't know. But anyway, she's really sweet, and it was nice to see her and be reminded that she is a person.
Yep. Jade was another bridesmaid.
Yes, and Jade is pregnant.
Hella
with a
pregnant
girl who Carly says is the fifth bridesmaid, which was cute. Wells, our bartender, was a groomsman.
Yep.
And we see like some cute talking to the camera by Evan, and he tries to make a heart with his hands, and he can't do it.
He just like kind of stuffed them together.
He just like keeps trying, and he says some adorable things about her, like she's going to be the cutest little old lady, and that she accepts all of his weird. And then in her vows, she says, "You're my best friend, my weirdo, my lobster."
I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but I like it. I really liked everybody's vows that they showed in these. I don't know. It made me excited to get married.
Yeah.
I got emotional at their wedding because they just seem like such a good couple. And they sort of remind me of us.
They are quirky.
Yeah.
For sure.
She says that Evan didn't cry once. He cried 30 times. He's a crier.
That's funny.
So that was that.
Yeah, that was a nice...
So we saw a wedding. We saw lots of Bachelor Nation there at their wedding. Like Caitlin and Sean.
And then the other guy was there too. And I was wondering how awkward that must have been.
The other guy? Oh, Nick.
Do you remember when
Sean... Yeah, Nick
Sean
and Vanessa, who for being criticized for their lack of, like... They don't seem like they're really a couple.
Uh-huh.
People think it's fake. They didn't do anything to deter that in the shots. They never looked like happy to be together, or they were never really like touching or anything.
I don't know. It's really hard to tell with like what, just like the B shots that they have of the crowd.
No, but I think it's unfortunate that the way that they edited it, like if they were at all affectionate, we did not see any of it.
Yeah, so do you want to start hitting some of the highlights from the actual Bachelor in Paradise episode?
Of course I do. So now let's get to our current cast.
Yeah. The first person to arrive was Raven.
And she's ready to find love and mingle.
She's hopeful, wants to hit it off, and she wants to be engaged, dang it.
Yeah, and she's more hopeful now than she was during Nick's season, which I think is funny because she made it to third?
Third or runner-up? I thought she was runner-up.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, she made it really far, so I think it's funny to come in and be like, I guess there's more people to pick from. And then Dean shows up, and he's ready to find love again. Raven says she has a crush on him, so they have a big hug. It seems like a lot of the ladies in the beginning have a crush on Dean.
Yeah, until they talk to him.
Yeah, yeah, those crushes fade really fast. I was thinking about that. Christina shows up.
Dean is so dreamy.
So, Christina, I liked her a lot. She was on Nick's season.
Yep.
She has a sad backstory about being from Russia, and she was an orphan. And got adopted, came to the States.
Yeah, had a lot of, like, terrible...
Yeah, she's been through a lot.
Yeah.
And she also has a crush on Dean. Mm-hmm. Danielle M. shows up. And the fact that she's Danielle M. makes me think that there's going to be another Danielle later. Because there are other Danielles.
There are, but they also just, like, keep people's initials. Like, Ben Z is Ben Z.
Call him that? Okay.
All the people do.
Okay.
Like, other cast members will call him Ben Z.
Gotcha. So Danielle M. shows up, and she's also a sweetheart. I think she's, like, a baby nurse.
Oh, a prenatal nurse?
I think so.
Yeah, she is.
But she's super sweet. She also has a sad story.
I forget what hers was.
Yeah, I don't remember. It had something to do, I think, maybe her partner killing themselves.
Oh, okay. Yikes. But, yeah, it's something like that.
It's something
sad. It's, like, life-changing sad.
Yeah. So these are all people that have, like, been through stuff. Then Ben Z shows up.
Yeah, and you were really excited to see him until he spoke. So
Ben Z has been my favorite since forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I wanted him for Bachelor instead of Ben H or whatever. And that we didn't watch that season, I think, because I was upset about it. But, yeah, it didn't take long for me to rethink that crush. Because
you didn't like him talking about his dogs for forever?
Yeah, so Ben Z shows up and everybody's like, who is that? And I was like, what? How do you not know who Ben Z is? I think he talks to Raven and she's like, I don't know anything about you. And he says, oh, well, I have a dog, and talks about how he loves dogs that have the black and brown combination. And he
lists off all the dogs he's had in, like, pretty good detail.
And I think that this might be an editing thing. I don't know that he really, like, she said, I don't know anything about you. And he went on for 15 minutes they played, about his dog. Like, maybe she said she has a dog and they, like, whatever. But he definitely, I mean, he was talking about dogs a lot. And that continues.
Yeah, to, like, a very obnoxious point where he's like, I gave up a lot to be here.
I have a dog back home that I really miss.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben Z.
And sure, like, I get that you could really, really miss your dog, but, like,
he says
it's
it
not
lot.
The same as, like, giving up time with your child, which is how it came out.
That's definitely how it sounds. Iggy shows up and he's so sweaty. He's really happy to see Dean.
And then his first thing he says to the camera is, wow, Dean's hotter than I thought he would be. And he runs down and picks him up and swings him about. He's just ready to hang out with the boys.
He just wants to hang out with the dude. Iggy is there to hang out with his friends. He is not there for the right reasons. Jack Stone shows up. And he says that people might think he's a serial killer because Jack Stone has this way of looking at people.
Like a serial killer.
He's going to eat the skin off their face or something. He also makes a lot of, like, jokes, like dad joke type things. Alexis comes and she's dressed up as a shark, which she thinks is a dolphin or thought it was a dolphin during her season.
When she was with Nick.
And he says, what's her porpoise for being here?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of us.
Jasmine came before Jack Stone and really wants to meet Rachel's guys because duh, they like black girls.
Right.
That's what she said.
That is what she said. But do they like being choked, which unfortunately is a thing that is carrying over.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
Matt is getting choked a lot.
Yeah, like, so Benzie's getting the dog edit, and Jasmine is getting the choke edit. Which, I mean, actually, if you're choking people that often, which you, I mean, they can't make that up.
They can't make up 4 or 5 times. It's like, a lot. Yeah, it's more than.
So, for those unfamiliar, Jasmine was on Nick's season, and the night that she went home, she talked to him and, like, playfully choked him. Like, she was saying she just wants to
wring him by the neck.
Yeah. But also, like, turned it into a sexual thing, but, like, didn't ask, do you mind if I choke you, which generally I think is how you're supposed to do it. This whole consent thing is important, especially when choking people. She's just choking people all over the place. She's choking somebody in the opening credits.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, they've turned it into a joke.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a dangerous joke.
And next up to show up is DeMario. Before he comes, everyone's like talking mad shit about him.
Yeah, nobody wants DeMario to come.
In the previous season with Rachel, during one of the dates, one of DeMario's former female partners was like, shows up at one of the dates and's like calls him out and everything, and right in front of Rachel, and they have a big discussion about.
Yeah, so this girlfriend thinks she was his girlfriend, mm-hmm. and that he never broke up with her and he just came to the show.
Yeah.
Which he ends up basically saying, like, she might think that I was probably not clear. I was kind of like, so he was leading her on.
Yeah.
And yeah, whatever. So anyway, people are upset that he's now coming to Paradise because Rachel sent him home for being a cheater. Basically.
Yeah.
Not a cool guy.
Right.
It's not good to ghost your girlfriend.
Right.
And go on a dating show.
But he's got a whistle. Boy, does he have a whistle.
He brings a whistle with him, which is not a great way to make friends.
No, not so much.
It's pretty annoying. It's
really annoying. He's also there to be like a wingman for the awkward guys that are there.
Right. So his plan is he pulls Raven to the side to talk to her.
The leader.
Because he knows that she's the leader of the group. Yep. So if he wins her over, then everybody else will come around. So yeah, he says that he's there to be a wingman to the awkward guy in the corner.
But like, I was thinking, how many awkward guy in the quarters are going to be here?
Iggy. Diggy.
Yeah, but they're not like...
Nick.
All right, fair point.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys that could use some help.
Yeah. For like a dating show, they don't have much swag.
But he didn't do this, so no, it doesn't matter.
He just whistled.
He just did a lot of whistling. Derek shows up, so he's known, not to me, but he says that he's known as the guy who cried a lot, I guess, when he got kicked off of JoJo's season.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't watch it, but... Yeah.
I think Derek's the one who looks like Jim from The Office, yes. Right?
Yeah, we can call him Jim.
Okay. Especially with the confessional camera. Holy cow.
The lighting.
Yeah. So sometimes it doesn't look like him at all from like other angles, but...
Right. Sometimes it does, though.
And yeah, it's scary how much it is.
He also had conflict with somebody named Alex, who is known for being short. That seems to be a thing that everybody's focused on with him.
Yeah.
And then, so of course, Alex shows up. And he wants a fresh start. And then he says something weird like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, he's just trying to break the ice, you know?
Yeah.
He's just like...
a frat boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Corinne shows up next. She has 2 glasses of champagne. 1 for Chris Harrison.
Yep. And she just slams it back at the top of the stairs while she's talking to him. And is ready to... make Paradise Corinne again.
Yeah, and then, so, just because I don't want to talk about this too much, like, Corinne and DeMario buddy up because they're both from New Jersey / Brooklyn. Because that's...
that was so those stupid. Are,
that's the same place. And they get close, and then they go into a swimming pool. And then that's really all that we see of them. Like,
yeah,
it seems like they hung out on the first day, and then any other time, they're not really together anymore.
Right, and to the point where they're avoiding each other.
Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah, who knows? So, and now I don't really want to talk about Corinne and DeMario anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I do want to say one more thing about Corinne. Cuts to Iggy, and Iggy's like, oh, Corinne's the life of the party. I'm usually the life of the party.
Yeah, so he thinks they'll click.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't.
Corinne and Iggy.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine? That would have been insane.
No.
And at this point, like, everybody seems pretty drunk. Like, I noticed that, like, everybody talking to the camera, they have, like, glassy eyes and seem a little bit
hammered. Seems like they take a shot whenever someone comes, so, like, especially the first few people have been there.
Yeah, well, and I think I get it. There's, like, the nerves, and so it's, like, a thing to do.
Yep.
Dean pulls Christina aside, and they have a really, like, genuine talk about how they both have weird families. And I thought this was good. Like, they seemed to be connecting.
Yeah, they clicked very well, like, before they left for, like, the little intermission.
Yeah. Do you want to talk through their relationship so far?
Yeah, let's just hit all the points. They spend quite a bit of time talking on the first day, and Christina ends up getting the first date card. The date card says, choose someone who will sweep you off your feet. And I was really hoping it would be, like, a chores type date where they had to, like, clean up the beach.
Yeah.
Sweep
the sand out of people's rooms or something.
Yeah. So anyway, she picks Dean as the person to go on a date with.
And it's a pretty lame date. It's basically just they're going to have dinner at a table.
Right.
In the middle of a space. Dean is very complimentary that he's lucky to be there with her. And so they seem to be kind of hitting it off. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of people come out dancing and playing music.
Yeah.
Which to me, I was like, oh, this is the best version of the two people having a concert performed for them date. Because it was very active.
Yeah. It wasn't so much like, let's stand and sway on a pedestal.
While looking at a stage. It was like...
All these people showed up around us.
Ah! Yeah, and they were all dancing and having fun, so then it was easy for them to just have a good time.
Yeah, and then, so that's basically the extent of the relationship that you see before production shuts down. And once production ends, they go back to Christina's hometown
together.
They go
to Kentucky, where she lives.
Yep.
And they spend, like, 10 days together.
And then road trip to Chicago together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I think they leave to come back.
Yeah, so then production starts again, and then they come back. And then at this point, it seems like
Dean has
lost interest.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yep.
Because it seems like, I think a couple days, I mean, a day had gone by, 2 days, whatever, between the episode watching for me. And I had forgotten, like, how good their connection was.
Yeah.
So then when I was like, oh, okay, well, he's, like, doing the thing that people do in Bachelor in Paradise, which is you couple up really fast, and then you go, oh, shoot, like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And then you have this kind of awkwardness. But it really seemed like they had a nice connection and, like, were having good conversation and, like, very open, honest, like, conversation. So then in episode 2, Christina is sensing that Dean is distant and weird and tries to call him out on it and just like, hey, what are you thinking? And he's like, well, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
And it's very, like, to me, it was like high school relationship. Like,
oh, definitely. He felt really immature in a way that he really didn't with Rachel.
I don't know. He did this with Rachel, though. There was the time... the date before they met his family, where she was trying to, like, get information from him. And he was like, what's your favorite dinosaur?
Yeah,
and,
like, there was that one. But
so,
like,
I think that he does this. And he knows it. He talked about it, that, like, he deflects. But, it was rough. It was hard to watch where, like, she was just trying to really find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what are you thinking? Like, you should figure out what you're thinking. Before, you know, because the women are going to give out the roses. So, like, well, what do you want to do? And, like, he was going to base his thing off of that. And just say that you're not feeling it.
Yeah. But I don't think he can right now, because if he says he's not... Well, actually, Dean would get a rose from someone else. But I think that from, like, the Bachelor in Paradise gameplay perspective, he kind of has to still stay in it a little bit with her so that he can get a rose this week so that he can stay. But him being Dean, I think that, like, he would get a rose from someone else, too.
Yeah, but their communication was just super frustrating. And then Christina got annoyed and after their final conversation of the episode and went to the bar where Wells and Nick were there to, like, console her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where I was like, hey, this Wells thing is really kind of cool that he's, like, involved.
Right. And he has a, he's a pretty funny guy, too, if you watch, like, the end credits. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I did. I didn't really like it. All of the Russian stuff.
Yeah, it was. It got really political. But
oh, well, I liked that. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The hacking the election thing. Yeah.
It was
there
was
because Christina is Russian. And right. So they were saying, like, oh, are you a KGB agent? And
yeah. She's like, oh, haha, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, he did say something about hacking the election.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, ugh. And then it moved on.
All right. So that's Christina and Dean in a nutshell. What's happened so far?
Lacey comes next, and I remembered seeing Lacey, but I really didn't remember too much about her.
Right. I recognized her face, and then they showed Iggy being like, I don't know who she is. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, if Iggy doesn't know her.
I don't have to know her. But yeah, Iggy's like, I don't know who she is, but I think she's hot.
She apparently arrived on a camel in her season.
I do remember someone arriving on a camel. I just don't remember that it was her.
Yeah. She's fine. She seems nice. Then I wrote down some guy arrived who is Vinny. I figured out later. I can't tell you who Vinny is.
There's a Vinny?
There's a guy named Vinny. Yeah, I looked through like the credits and to figure out like who I was missing. Huh. So there's a guy named Vinny. He has not played a big role at this point.
No, I didn't even know he was there.
Then Diggy showed up. Diggy is the super stylish guy from Rachel's season. He has over 500 pairs of shoes. He's always wearing a different pair of glasses.
Yep. But when he shows up, they just like all do a group hug jump thing.
Yeah. All of the guys from Rachel's season are like very close.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all BFFs.
Yeah. They all have little nicknames for each other too.
Matt arrives.
And Iggy shrieks. He just like has like a high-pitched squeal when he sees them.
Matt is known for showing up to Rachel's season in a penguin costume, and then he gets the like that's his job title when they show like
penguin
Matt, and they show your age, and then they put it just says penguin underneath. So he comes as a penguin. Then Nick, who I don't know, but he came with a Santa beard.
Yeah.
And this was really funny because they showed Matt being very critical. So Matt showed up in a full penguin costume and he was like, I don't know if this guy's going to go Santa. Like, he should be wearing the suit and do everything, like, not just wear the beard. Yep. But this has been very helpful for me because I don't know who Nick is. Like, I don't know about him from his season. But the fact that he, like, Saint Nick.
Yeah, we put that together a little bit later.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Nick came because he was interested in Jasmine. So, like, he had a specific person in mind. And in retrospect now, I think this is kind of funny because Jasmine ends up in a relationship with Matt,
mm-hmm.
Penguin Matt, and she has the thing happen where they're sort of, you know, they're building a lot of momentum and then he kind of pulls back. Mm-hmm. And I want to go over how that conversation went with you.
So usually we watch these episodes together, but not this part I didn't see with you, so I don't know what your reaction was like during this.
Well,
we're about to find out.
So Jasmine, Nick, and Iggy are sitting at a table, and it's nighttime, and Jasmine's like, do you want to just turn our mics off and, like, I don't know, like, just leave and, like, sneak away? Like, I know a place, and she's trying to get Matt to, like, go off with her.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Matt say? Do you remember?
Do you want to go take a nap?
I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
So, Matt's not into it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a pretty obvious indication.
Yeah, usually when someone's like, hey, let's turn our mics off, wink, wink.
Yeah, and like, I didn't know that was that was an option, but...
Yeah.
She wants to, like, go...
Fantasy suite time.
Oh, I don't know if it meant that. I think she just, like, wanted to have time, just the two of them. I don't know that it meant they were gonna, like...
I don't know.
Well, it would be weird to say that right in front of Iggy. Like, yeah. Iggy's sitting at the table with them. But, yeah, to be like, hey, do you want to go, you know, sneak away?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that happens where one person gets really invested and then the other person's not so invested. And this happens both ways.
Yep.
So that's where Jasmine's at. But so then she's crying to the camera and saying, like, she just wants someone to like her and all this. And I'm like,
you have
Nick
someone
came
like
here yeah. for you.
He calls you Jazzy. I don't think anybody else that you know calls you Jazzy, but he does.
Yeah. So, right. Like, you might not like him because he's blonde, because that was a thing that she immediately said. Like, well, I usually date guys with dark hair.
Yeah.
And I hate stuff like
that. Yeah, me too.
Nick does kiss her, but it's like a weird middle school thing. So, like, I don't know what your first kiss was like, but mine was in fifth grade, and it was on the playground. And there were a lot of people standing around and kind of, like, egging me and my then-boyfriend on.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened with Jasmine and Nick, where everyone was sitting at the bar.
And someone said, if you're interested with her, then make out with her.
And then they kiss.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It wasn't.
No. But that's what's happening with Jasmine.
Yep.
Then Amanda shows up. So Amanda was on Ben's season, so we didn't know her. And then she was on Bachelor in Paradise last year and got engaged to Josh.
Right.
Josh, who was engaged to Andy, our first bachelorette. But that didn't work out. So she's come here for a fresh start, and she talks to Chris Harrison about, like, how things went. She gives back her engagement ring, and Chris says that it smells like pizza.
There's some pizza thing that happened. In the intro, a pizza slice is chasing her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either, but there's something about pizza.
Yeah.
That the ring smells like pizza. That just seems super weird to me.
Yeah. It's not an inside joke in the loop. That they have. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an inside joke. And you'd think we were inside.
No, not quite. Taylor was the next person to show up. And she was kind of nervous to come, actually.
Yeah, so Taylor is famous for having a feud with Corinne during her season. So she's nervous to come back. She got a lot of hate from social media. So I think she's like, she's nervous to put herself out there again. And also, like, Corinne is there. She's wearing these shorts that are like the trend this summer.
Where you can see the...
You can see people's butts. Like, so they're baggy, short shorts.
Yeah.
I don't know about this. I mean, never mind. I do. Go for it. Do your thing.
Sure.
It's not for me.
I feel like they're more revealing than bikinis.
I feel like they're more revealing than people realize. That's like, I think that's my thing with them, is that, like, you don't see yourself from the back.
Mm-hmm.
Very often. And I just want people to be aware. It's like when people, like, leggings. So, like, leggings, I guess, are still popular. But when leggings were, like, super popular and everybody was wearing them, especially on college campuses.
With a North Face jacket.
Yeah, well, that's how, that was, yeah. Anyway, sometimes leggings are translucent. So you can see people's underwear or lack of underwear, and I just, like, always wondered if people knew.
Yeah.
That you could see their underwear very clearly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. So that's my thing with these skirt short things. Like, do you know that much of your butt is showing? Because it's a lot of butt.
Taylor seems to have a pretty instant connection with Derek Jim.
She does. They hang out immediately.
Yep.
And she tells him that she needs a man to take her into the woods and build a fire for her, which, I mean, okay, so there, I mean, it's problematic on, like, many levels, like requiring a man to be able to build a fire, like, just learn how to build a fire yourself, Taylor. Like,
yeah,
girl power.
Yeah.
You can do this. You don't need a man to do that. but she also, like, it was like an innuendo. She needs a man to take her into the woods.
Take me in the forest.
But then they do later, like, they're sitting by the fire.
Right, and he's like, a good gesture. That was pretty good.
He feels like he needs to prove that he can do this. And while that's happening, she's roasting marshmallows.
And
she's awful at it.
She thinks she's really good at it.
She is terrible at roasting marshmallows, and they're all burning, and the stick that she's using is, like, very long and weird or something.
So in order for her to blow it out, she had to, like, pull the stick halfway down and blow on it. It just was a mess.
So, like, for someone who requires fires to be built for them, like, you're not providing your side, the marshmallow cooking side.
Right.
We cut to Alexis. Alexis is the shark. Alexis says she's not feeling anyone. There's no vagina dancing.
Which is a thing that she feels when obviously, when she's attracted to someone.
Yes, her vagina dances.
Amanda was also talking about celebrity Tinder and how she's not allowed on it because she's not a real celebrity.
Yeah. So she's like, yeah, she's been having a hard time
finding people in the real world.
Right. I didn't know celebrity Tinder was a thing.
Me neither.
She's like famous, but not famous enough for that.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, we wouldn't. We're not famous. And we don't use Tinder.
Yeah. So both halves of those we don't use. But like, we know what Tinder is.
Yeah.
From a theoretical standpoint.
This is when we get the moment where Chris Harrison tells us that Jorge has an announcement. And then he also says that the ladies are getting the roses. Which has never happened before, I guess.
Yeah. Well, for the first time. Yeah. To start off.
Yeah, that they get him first. Mm-hmm. So for anybody that doesn't know the format of Bachelor in Paradise, each week one gender gets the rose. So they have the power to send home people from the other. And then anybody that doesn't have a rose, that isn't coupled up, goes home.
Yep. And then like three more people show up.
Yeah, right. More people show up so that in this case there were more men than there were women. So that way they...
Yeah, so like next week more women than men will show up.
Right. And possibly new men.
Yeah, that's why I said more women than men will show up.
Yeah. So each week more people are added.
Yep. So then after this they break off into groups to have their little girl-boy talks. Like, so what's everyone feeling?
I like these talks.
They feel so, like, corny to me.
It's like, yeah, right. I mean, it's silly because it's like all the girls go and talk to each other. All the guys go and talk to each other. Mm-hmm. But I think it's kind of nice because you sort of get the sense of their dynamics. And at this point, like, there's not really any competition. Like,
yeah.
I mean, there are some people, I guess, that are interested in the same person, but not in, like, the love triangle kind of way that I'm sure we'll get next week.
Oh yeah, things are probably gonna get
like
real.
Everybody's really friendly with each other and it seems like everybody's just kind of like excited and like, ooh, who do you have a crush on and right. Who do you like? Yeah. Diggy says he likes Alexis. Matt says he likes Jasmine. Whatever. I didn't think that a lot came out of this.
No, it wasn't too interesting.
We do get a lot of cool shots of hermit crabs and crabs on the beach.
They're just like scurrying around.
Yeah, and this was something that I really love, and we also see some cool birds. I like the shots that kind of break things up of just crabs roaming around. And I miss this during the regular season because I remember it's pretty campy and they used to do this in the seasons in the main show. Like I remember there was that crazy girl, Claire.
Yeah.
Oh no, but that was in Bachelor in Paradise that she talked to the raccoon.
Yeah. So in general.
Oh, I guess it's always just Paradise.
Like. Yeah, but Paradise can you imagine? Is kind of like a parody of itself.
Yeah, but I just, that would be really, well, there was the one girl, I guess, that talked to, well, she talked to like a shrubbery that had a weird flower on it.
Oh, when they were playing laser tag, Ashley I?
No, not Ashley, Ashley S.
Yeah, Ashley I was the one who would cry all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was in love with Jared. Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, man.
but anyway, so I just like, I like the kooky stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons that I like usually enjoy watching this show more.
Yeah, I loved watching this episode today. Episode two.
Yeah, there were some really good things in it.
I was very entertained.
You want to talk about Happy Death Day?
I do want to talk about Happy Death Day.
So during the commercial breaks, there was this four-part ad that, like, happened, and it's for this movie called Happy Death Day, and it's about this woman who wakes up every morning and then, like, lives a day.
It's like Groundhog's Day.
But she gets murdered at the end of all of them.
For the day she dies. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we probably don't all get the same commercials, but this one seemed pretty targeted. I think this was, we probably all saw this.
Yeah, most likely.
If you watched it on TV and not on like Hulu. The first time I saw it, I was like, this seems stupid. But by the fourth ad, I was sold.
I want to go see it.
We're definitely going and seeing this movie.
Yeah.
It's a scary movie because it's got murder in it.
Yeah, lots of murder.
Like, but so, I like the idea that she has to like kind of play detective for her own death.
Yep. Yeah, there's going to be a point where she's just like, once she wakes up, it's going to be more of an annoyance that she didn't get out of it rather than like being scared anymore. And that's going to be the point where the movie's going to get good.
Yeah. That's exciting. You put it on our calendar. Yeah. That we're going to go see it the day it comes out.
October 13th, Friday the 13th.
Friday the Spooky.
So we'll have more information on that for you later, folks.
It's still night one, and Nick is very drunk and trying to talk to Jasmine. I think this is where he blew his chance. Like, she already wasn't really that into him, and then he got too drunk for her to even really talk to him.
I think for her, that was the final straw, and the point where she wanted to, like, start making moves with other people and start talking to them.
Right, and that's when she went in the hot tub with Matt, and we got to see it through night vision, because it was all green.
It was steamy.
It was steamy. I mean, it's a hot tub.
Yeah.
The next morning, everybody's recuperating by drinking smoothies.
Yeah.
And then you started drinking smoothies. So I was wondering if you were inspired by the show.
It's actually... When did I start drinking smoothies? Yesterday.
Yeah.
So it could have been because of the show.
But you didn't realize it?
No, it was subliminal, I think.
Yeah, they were all drinking smoothies and they were feeling a lot better. So I think that you decided to do it.
Yeah, that's the reason I did it.
Cool.
So in the past 2 days, I've had 3 smoothies and a salad for lunch.
Yeah, I'm very nervous about what your gut is going to do very soon.
No, it's going to be cool.
It's a lot of fruit and roughage.
It'll be good.
One thing I thought was funny was that Iggy told Nick that Santa Claus was naughty last night because he got too drunk.
Yep.
Lacey says that she was afraid all night that there were going to be crabs in her bed, which is like me with spiders.
Yeah.
After we found the tarantula-sized spider in our basement, I always am afraid that when I get into bed, there's going to be spiders in there.
Or when you're in the bathroom, there's going to be spiders in there. Or...
Oh, no, I'm not really worried about that.
You shake your towel all the time.
Oh, because there's been spiders in my towel before. No, yeah, that's not preventative. Like, that happened.
Yeah.
Like, I was drying myself off and a spider fell out. So now I just shake my towel so that there won't be spiders in
it.
Yeah, but I'm not scared in the same way that I am getting into bed.
Mm-hmm.
But Lacey ends up having to leave because her grandfather passes away.
Yeah.
And that's sad. And because she had also just kind of started to hit it off with Iggy, possibly.
Maybe. She's
who
like,
knows? Iggy was interested in her. She might have been interested in him.
She at least says that, I hope you're still here when I come back.
Right. Yeah. So she intends to come back after the service, but she, you know, her grandfather means a lot to her. So she wants to make sure she goes to be with her family. And she's saying, like, she really wishes that she had a boyfriend that could go with her.
And, like, the perfect time to be like, okay, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do it.
Yeah. Because, like, things like that kind of happened.
I mean, she probably wouldn't have taken him.
No. No, you need to stay.
That would have been weird.
It would have been really weird.
Too soon.
But when she does come back and everybody comes back, like, she and Iggy do not talk at all.
Yeah. So after it kind of works out that putting production on hold, she's able to come back when everybody else does.
Yeah.
But then she has this big problem because everybody's gotten to know each other, but they haven't gotten to know her.
Yeah.
And so she's going around and kind of trying to talk to everybody, and they're not really that into it.
Yeah.
And she gets really upset and feels really alienated. Mm-hmm. And I was sad about that for her.
Yeah.
She seems nice.
Yeah.
But she just, like, really, was hoping that she'd be able to find love. And she's
still
feeling
a
little down right now. Absolutely.
More people are coming.
Yeah. And she has somebody in mind. She mentioned someone's name.
Someone that, like thrusted a lot and did weird
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. I didn't know who he was. I think his name's Brandon?
Sure.
I wrote it down, but it's on a different piece of paper. He did a lot
Daniel?
Of, like, thrusting stuff. And that's who she's looking forward to. So I think he'll probably come next week. Because otherwise they wouldn't have showed this. But we know that just because you want someone to show up doesn't mean they're going to like you back.
Right. And I think that might have been stuff from the last Bachelor in Paradise.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like it.
Yeah.
Then Robbie shows up. So at this point, like, everybody's kind of settled. So Robbie is, like, a late arrival. Well, I mean, it's the next day.
Right.
So he's a late arrival. He was the number 2 on JoJo's season, and he's the one that everybody calls Ken.
Yeah.
Like Barbie Ken. Ken doll? Ken doll is what they call him. So, because he's so beautiful. I think I disagree. He's got too much going on.
Also, his hair is like, his hair is so great, but, like, it's not. It looks really
weird. His hair is very weird. Chris Harrison talks to him as he arrives and gives him a date card, and then also, like, asks him, like, what part of his hair is doing. He's like, what is this part for?
He, like, touches it.
Yeah. All the girls are, like, fascinated by him, but because they want to know how his hair works, not because of him.
Yeah. And I kind of think that he looks like Jesse Pinkman, but, like, with a 18 pack or whatever.
Yeah.
He has going on.
Yeah. He has a lot of abs, apparently.
Yeah. But yeah, he does look like Jesse Pinkman with, like, weird swoopy back hair.
Yeah. So he shows up and he takes Raven on a date. And Benzie is really sad about this because
he left his dog behind.
He really wanted to spend the day with Raven, but now she's gone all day on this date with this other guy. And he left his dog behind at home. He really misses his dog a lot. And this was when I wrote down that my crush on Benzie was gone.
Boom.
Sorry, Benzie.
When Robbie first shows up, all the guys are like, basically, like, you know, talking him up and being like, oh, he looks really great.
They're like, man, that, oh, like, he's awesome. Yeah. Like,
they're all giving him compliments.
They're all going to like him.
And then all the girls are just kind of like sitting there. And Christina's like, yeah, all the guys are just like giving out compliments and we're just sitting here.
Yeah. Robbie brought a bathing suit for every day that he's going to be in paradise.
Including a denim Speedo.
Yeah, a denim Speedo. But aside from that, like, it seemed like some of the ones, because they, like, showed him flipping through a suitcase, he had a lot of good swimsuits.
I mean, yeah.
I was kind of jealous. I want some of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they go on their date, Robbie and Raven, and there's, like, two jet skis on the beach. But then they're both on one,
yeah.
Which I thought, I don't know, that was kind of disappointing because we know that Raven is like an outdoorsy type. So like on her date with Nick, when she, like, I think for her hometown, they went riding around on ATVs.
Mm-hmm.
So she could handle herself on a jet ski.
Yeah.
But no, instead, like, she had to just hold on to him and ride around. And she was very hungover and also by the end of the date was not into him at all.
No. But he thought she was.
He did. But she got back and all the girls meet up to talk about how the date went.
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys meet up to talk about his. And it was so funny to cut back and forth between them. Robbie thought he had a great date. It was right in his wheelhouse, which he said multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And Raven's like, yeah, he's nice, but he has too many abs. And he's like, we got into some deeper stuff. Oh, you know what this is like? It's like that scene in Grease. Are you familiar with Grease?
Not as much as you, but continue and tell me a little bit about this movie, Grease.
So in the movie Grease, there's like these two people and they have like this fling, but it's like not near where the guy lives. And then the girl ends up moving and going to his school. So then there's this scene sort of where they're singing the song, like, Tell Me More.
That's the one I was going to guess.
And so the guys are all, like, you know, he's, like, telling his side of the story, which is all, like, macho and stuff. And she's telling her side, which is like, oh, my gosh, she's so great. And so it's like that, the way that we keep cutting back and forth between the two groups. Although the scenario is very different.
Perspectives, yeah.
So it's not really like that, except that there's two different groups. And we cut back and forth between them.
We're two-thirds of the way.
And they were singing. Oh, wait, no, they
weren't. You were not watching the same thing.
Maybe they'll make a Bachelor in Paradise musical. I'd go see it.
Oh, boy.
So he's like, yeah, we got into some deeper stuff. And Alex is like, oh, you talked about your Instagram, didn't you? And
he's a social media
Influencer. Which Raven is like, yeah, he said he was an influencer. And she thinks that's super weird. And yeah. I think it's really funny.
Yeah.
I think that that just means that you have a lot of followers and people will pay you to advertise their products.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that date didn't go so well. But he still doesn't know.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't.
No. Diggy and Iggy have a conversation that they need to, like, get out there, you know, and take a risk because they realize that they've been just, like, spending all of their time
throwing out with
the guys. So Iggy pulls Alexis, or, like, hangs out with Alexis. And, like, is, like, flirty by the ocean with her or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you know what I really like about you is, like, you're just, like, crazy. So crazy. Like, you're just so crazy. And she's like, I don't really think I'm crazy. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, you're not crazy.
No, it's not like what I meant, but like, you're kind of crazy.
But then she basically says that she's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I titled this part of the episode, Diggy and Iggy's Big Risk.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good movie.
It does. I mean, Diggy and Iggy is just, what are the chances?
Right.
Yeah, so that was, I think, Iggy's, like, trying to date, and it didn't go so well.
And I want to see more of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he's just totally spineless.
Yeah.
He, like, says something, and the girl's like, no. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, that's not what, yeah, totally agree with you. Taylor and Derek are kissing on the cabana.
Ooh.
They start to get close. And she's like, yeah, I was just thinking about how I could just, like, totally lean back on you and snuggle. And he was like, yeah, you can do that. And they, like, kissed. And it was, I don't know. Oh. So it's, like, it's fun. I really like Taylor. Like, she got a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And for her talk about being, or emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And, like, that Corinne didn't have a lot of emotional intelligence or whatever.
Which is accurate.
But people thought she was snobby and, like, a know-it-all. Calling her dumb. And whatever.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
Right.
I don't think. I feel like I understand Taylor. And so it was nice to see her, who's kind of, like, uptight a little bit and, like, definitely skeptical of the whole thing, like, be kind of the one that seems to be having the best success.
Yeah. I mean, nobody else has the same sort of connection that the two of them have.
Yeah. So this was just the beginning of their relationship. And so production stops, they come back, and they're still totally into each other.
Mm-hmm. During the assembly, they were like holding hands and they were very close to each other.
They were very close.
Yeah. So things are still really good for them when they come back.
Yes. And then they get a date that says true love never dies. That's what their date card says.
Yeah.
And so what this means is that they go to a dinner and they sit at a table and they're surrounded by like skulls.
They are the dead skulls.
Right? Yeah. But they had they had a great conversation, I thought. So she's like, so our date card said true love never dies. Like, how do you feel about true love?
And he's like, I don't think there's like one person for everyone. She's like, oh, that's good. Me neither.
But even more than that, she started out with, I don't like this whole idea of, like, the missing person. Like, the person completes the missing piece. And be your own full puzzle. And then have another puzzle next to your puzzle that really complements the colors in your puzzle.
Oh, like a city landscape in clouds?
Yeah. And I just loved this because I feel like that's how I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's how you think.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know. I was wondering what kind of puzzles we would be.
Ooh, let's talk about it.
Sprinkles. I want to be sprinkles.
I was going to say one of us needs to be something really complicated. Imagine just doing like a straight up sprinkles puzzle.
Rainbow sprinkles.
That's so hard.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's a tricky puzzle.
What would you be?
I would probably be some sort of fun little kittens or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because with that, like they're all different colored kittens too. That's a pretty easy puzzle to do, relatively.
Okay.
Because, like, they'll all have stripes and stuff.
They could also have, like, large pieces.
I'd be a 4-piece big little kitten puzzle.
Yeah, and I would be a
2,000-piece sprinkles. That would be such a boring puzzle to do.
But it would be sprinkles. It would be so cheerful the whole time.
Yeah, but, like, every piece...
I'm gonna make you a sprinkles puzzle.
Oh, great. I'm excited. I'm excited to do this.
But I loved this conversation. I love how realistic they're being. And they just seem so happy together.
The entire time. Like, nothing seemed to put a damper on them at all.
Yeah. When they got the date card, like, they were cuddling on the cabana. And, mm-hmm. like, everybody walked over with the date card. And
it was like, hey.
Yeah. I don't know. They just seem really good. And I'm hoping that that doesn't get messed up. Like, I can see, like, a lot of these other relationships already have problems.
Yeah.
But there's, I really like.
I'm hoping that they do like the Jade and Tanner thing where they just like ignore everyone.
Yeah.
Because like that's exactly what Jade and Tanner did.
Yes.
Like they would talk to people sometimes, but like whenever you saw them, they would just be like sleeping on one of those outdoor beds.
Yeah. That's what I'm calling a cabana. I don't know if that's the right term for it, but.
I thought a cabana was more like a hut.
Okay. Well, they usually have a roof.
Yeah. Cabana bed.
Cool.
Cabetta.
Robbie is talking to Raven. Ben Z comes over and interrupts. because Benzie's like, I got to do something. Like, he was already on a date with her.
Yep.
I want to try to, you know, be in her
radar.
That's the one. Because all of his eggs are in her basket. So they kiss. And she immediately says, that was better than Robbie.
Yeah.
And then is like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's so funny. Yeah. She was so embarrassed that she said it. She's I thought like, it was awesome.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, but also, like, you're saying that you kissed this other dude earlier today.
Yeah.
It's better than saying that you're worse than him.
Oh, could you imagine? Like, it's just doubly bad.
Yeah. Okay, so then the show is interrupted. Then they come back. And so we have the assembly and everybody talks about things and they pretend to cover all these issues. Mm-hmm. Then they go to their groups, their gender groups.
And they talk about how people are feeling. Like,
yeah, like
during,
where they're at.
During vacation.
Right. So vacation. Like, are you still into the people that you were into when you left? And what's happened? Have you still been talking to anybody? So Lacey is back. We talked about that. Danielle had been hanging out with Jack Stone and she's like, he's great, but she realizes that she was trying to convince herself and mm-hmm. isn't really that into him. Raven had Robbie and Benzie reach out to her and try to be in touch, but she ghosted both of them.
Yep.
Alex had been hanging out with
Amanda,
but he's like made some rude comments to some people, which we don't really know what that is, but like he's been brushing people the wrong way.
Yeah, we actually didn't see much with him except for his commentary, like his play by play.
Yeah but then we see a lot more this episode.
Oh, he's super annoying.
He's so annoying. So we can talk about that. So yeah. He is like very attached to her already. He's like, sup wifey at yeah. one point. And I was like, ew. Like, even if you are together and married, like, don't say that.
Yeah.
Like, in no instance is that really, like, something people want to hear.
Let alone from knowing someone for, like, a day. Or were they on Paradise last year together? I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter.
They no, don't know I don't like it.
Yeah.
And especially knowing that she hasn't been talking to him. Oh, no, maybe she has, actually.
No, I think she was.
Yeah, but then she lost interest. And so he's, like, trying to be, like, super cool. And he's like, yeah, dude, I want to get a Dutch Shepherd. And everybody's like, yeah, we don't know what that is.
Well, it's like a blah, blah, blah.
It's like a something. And he names another kind of dog. And they're like, still no. And in my head, I'm like, where is Ben Z? I'd think that he would be your perfect person to talk to about these dog things.
All day about dogs.
Yeah. Amanda's putting her distance. She's being really cold. He's not getting it. So he goes up to Raven and is like, I need advice.
She's like,
I think you should move on is her advice. Like, I don't think that you should be. And he's like, oh, cool, cool, cool. Got it.
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
Then, like, immediately goes over to her and, like, tries to, like, pull her aside. She's hanging out with some other people. And Dean's like, actually, like, right now's not a good time. Like, he's trying to make it so that she doesn't have to get pulled aside.
And he's like, no, let's go. We'll talk.
This is going to be good.
This is going to be a good conversation.
And it's not. She tries to explain that, like, yes, she's planning to give him the rose, but it's a friendship rose.
Yeah.
It's sort of like she's not into anybody that's there, so she's going to give it to him so that he can stay.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't get it.
And then, like, to camera, he's like, oh, so far I've been a nice guy. Now I guess I gotta be a jerk for her to like me.
Yeah. Ugh, go away.
Yeah.
All right. And that's pretty much them for the episode. Dean and Christina, we know they hung out for the week and then they have troubles during this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek and Taylor are still into each other and are so cute together.
Just, like, giddy talking about each other.
Oh my gosh.
So far, I think those are the real relationships we've seen.
Yes. And we'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll probably begin with a rose ceremony. We'll trim off some of the
fat. Yeah, right. We still haven't done that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to probably cut three guys.
Yes.
And then after that, we'll get some more. We'll get some new people. And I did see some of the preview stuff.
I did too. I tried not to pay too much attention.
Yeah, I wanted to see the after thing.
Yeah. Right, so they put the, like, next week or coming up, and then they have, like, a funny thing usually at the end.
Like, the first episode was the thing about the entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah. Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. entrepreneur.
I don't care. I know what you're saying, so right. Like it doesn't matter to me which way you pronounce it.
Yeah.
People get picky over weird stuff.
Yeah. Not me. That's week one of Bachelor in Paradise.
It was a good time. I'm excited. I'm hopeful for people.
And I'm thinking, like, for the rest of it, it's just going to be, like, straight Bachelor in Paradise action. There's no more weddings in the way.
Right.
There's no more production shutdowns in the way. We're just going to get love.
Love.
4 hours of love each week.
Love triangles.
Yeah.
And lots of crying.
Yeah.
All right. Until then, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jake.
And this is We Trust the Process.